Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thanks so much for being with us on what is evening here in Massachusetts, but you could be listening anywhere, anytime, which is the wonder of doing radio this way. My guest tonight is Roxanne Mousseau, who's been on twice before, once just before she left on Walkabout, and once from Bali. Bali, and then from Perth, Australia. But we have more stories that we're going to hear. So she will be with us in just a moment. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing, which basically is that David is on Walkabout because I'm having, as one of my friends calls it, a moving experience. I'm moving from the place that I've lived for the past 10 years to a wonderful place in a much more rural area, literally in the middle of a one-acre field. So I am, at this point, literally a man out standing in his field. And I had somebody who will be on with us shortly. Peter Champeau is an expert on the effect of the energy of the land and placement of things in relationship to the energy of the land. And he lives just a few miles from me, and we've gotten close to meeting several times, but he came by to help me with stuff around the house because everything's crazy here. And he pointed out that there's a tremendous amount of water energy and wind energy in this spot, and I'm just enjoying this new place incredibly. But of course, my space is total chaos because it's just a pile of boxes, and I don't know where it took me a while to find my headset so I could do the show with a good mic. And I'm exhausted from cleaning out the other apartment, which took several days, and blah, 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 blah. But isn't that just like Walkabout? You know, you go off into a new situation, not knowing exactly what's going to happen, not knowing what all the challenges are going to be, not sure that you can rise to all those challenges. And you do it, and you learn a lot, and you find out a whole lot about what you can do and who you are. Which is my wonderful introduction to my good friend Roxanne. Hello.
Hello.
On the other side of the world. And
yeah. I totally didn't even hear your introduction. I got booted. I was like, I missed it. It was probably really good.
I was just talking about moving being a walkabout.
Excellent.
So we're talking to you tomorrow at 11 a.m.
Yes, I am coming from your future.
Right.
It's a bright, sunny day.
So where I am, it's 9 p.m. Where you are, it's 11 a.m. tomorrow. And I always say you don't have to worry about the world coming to an end tomorrow because it's already tomorrow in Australia. So it's not a problem.
Yeah.
So When we last saw our heroines, you had spent your time in Bali. You had gotten yourself to the west coast of Australia. You were in Perth.
Yes.
And gave us an update. So actually, you've been on three times.
I have.
And so a little bit's happened since then.
Yeah, just a little.
Tell people where you are now.
Okay, so right now I am in Brisbane, which is in Queensland on the east coast of Australia, which is across the continent from where I was the last time we checked in.
Right, which is, we were just chatting before the show, and it's like most people have no idea how big Australia is.
Yeah. I thought, like, my original plan, which I'm sure we'll get into the idea of our plans and how they really work out for us. my original plan was I would spend 6 weeks in Australia, and I thought, hey, That'll give me enough time to, you know, travel all of it. Well, I mean, when you look at a map, it looks like an island compared to North America, right? Wrong. I was very wrong. I've been here now. Ooh, I landed. Oh, it'll be 4 months tomorrow that I've been in Australia. So, yeah. And I still haven't seen all of it.
Well, it's the reason they call it the Outback is there's that big section in the middle where getting anywhere takes a long time.
True story. Yeah, I flew over that. It looked really nice.
You like desert, do you?
Yeah. It's very monotonously calming. You wonder if you blinked because it looks the same.
Yeah.
Which, hey, I mean, let's face it, that can be much like life sometimes, really. You know, when I truly, I look back now, I was just thinking about it yesterday because a lot of my students are that I previously taught are on my Facebook now, because I always told them, you know, when I don't teach anymore, we can be Facebook friends. And since I've resigned from teaching fully, I have lots of students on there. And I was thinking about, yeah, my life before Walkabout really was like that monotonous desert view in a lot of ways. There were still good things, beautiful, amazing things, but yeah, it's not anymore.
Right. Yeah.
I'm full on in the forest right now.
Yeah, there's a reason that the movie Groundhog Day is so poignant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that there are so many things that are the same every day.
Yeah.
And certainly when you do something like Walkabout, you have no idea what the day is going to hold or what's going to happen. Oh,
exactly. Yeah. Well, when we were talking just before the show, we were joking, you know, that my new tagline for my life, really, but this journey and everything that happens is it's all a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
But even making plans with people right now, I always give them that little disclaimer of, you know, I'm really hard to make plans with because I don't know what's going to happen.
And neither do you.
Yeah, so that's living in the flow.
There's a Yiddish proverb that says, man plans, God laughs.
Yeah, true story. Just saying. Whoever wrote that stuff down, very smart.
Well, one of my teachers was a Cherokee medicine man, and there was he was with me as my dad was dying, you know, kind of holding my hand and listening to me chatter and telling him all my plans and what was going to happen and blah, 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 blah. And when I finally shut up, he said, you have a plan. It's good to have a plan. Plans are good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do if grandfather's plan is different from your plan?
Yes.
Like, oh.
Yes. Yep. And that, what a beautiful segue right into. So let me take you back to Perth where we left off last. I'll quickly recap for our new listeners. I spent a month in Bali, way up in the mountains, very high up, in a small village teaching English between two villages and also working with a master dance teacher there. Which was phenomenal. Balinese dance is a huge part of their culture, and it's very intricate and detailed. And I had the privilege of only doing a couple of sessions with him, but following him around as he worked with all the village children and watching them develop these dances and perform them. So it was not your traditional tourist, you know, version of Bali by any means. I actually didn't really get that experience of being in the cities or hotels or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
From there, I flew to Perth and traveled around southwestern Australia. And when we left off last, I had done a stay down in a place called Bridgetown where I worked on a farm stay. I got to lead bush rides on horseback, and I blessed over and over my mentor, Ross, who taught me how to ride. Because I was on this really... handsome standard bred horse that had a desire for speed at all times, even in the bush. And if you've never been in the bush of Australia, just imagine like North American forests gone wild with really big stuff in trees that have spikes. That's about it. Yeah. So I done that. I was back in Perth staying with a family that was hosting me because my arrangements to continue to volunteer on farms for my room and board had fallen through. From there, I kind of left as I didn't know what was coming next. And I had the opportunity to, I had two places up in the northwestern Australia that had offered me a place to come up. One was with an Aboriginal man on his ancestral title land. But the plans were very like unsettled and just, this is a possibility and I could meet you either these 3 days. You're going to have to come up, you know, and hang out in Broome, which is the gateway city town of the Kimberleys, they call it up there in Western Australia. And I was like, okay, that's really, you know, unclear and unsure. And then I had this other woman that was like, please come stay with us up in Dampier Peninsula and was begging me. And it was all easy, but it didn't feel right. And I was like, oh, man. The one that feels right that could possibly lead me to dance, which is what I'm out here doing, dancing the world, was really like, I had to take that leap of faith, right? And I was just looking at the sky going, why do you do this to me? So, you know, I sat for, and when I say I sat for a couple days, I mean, I sat in fear for a couple days, you know, and I really want to share today that there is that experience of, you know, people come to me and they say, you're so courageous, Roxanne, look at all you're doing. Yeah, I am courageous, but I'm scared like out of my wits half the time. I just walk through it, you know? And sometimes it's really that oppressive feeling of, oh, what am I going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do. And then it all works out. So I did choose. I gave the yes to the Aboriginal man and his family and gave the no to Dampier Peninsula. And flew up to Broome, having enough money in my bank account for potentially 2 nights at the hostel. And after that, I was going to have to work something out somehow.
Right.
And it just flowed from there. Neville was his name, came and picked me up on my second day in Broome. And I just want to say it's hot up there near the equator. I grew up in Windsor, Ontario. Which is like, it's very humid there, very beautiful weather, super hot in the summer. This was hotter and it was their fall.
Right.
I have pictures on Facebook of me sitting, doing nothing and sweats pouring off me. And I would write on Facebook, hey guys, like I'm doing nothing right now. Literally I'm sitting in the shade, sweating. Anyways, I went up onto, Neville's land and, our ride up there felt like going home for me, which was very strange because I've never felt attached to Australia. I felt called to be here, but not like this was my land or anything like that. I got up there and I met his wife and his children. And Neville and his wife run an Aboriginal tourist business where they take people out onto the land for any length of time. Sometimes it's like a day trip. And sometimes they do the entire outback camping experience in the traditional style. And so phenomenal, phenomenal people. And Neville was so open in sharing the traditions of, you know, his people and what he had learned. And for me, it was just, it was peaceful. Really like I had come home just in a place where I could be held for a while, and I didn't know why. There was no dance there, which was my expectation that I would come up and, you know, I would meet people, I would meet, you know, the women, you know. No, it didn't happen. There was some powerful animal medicine there for me, though, in that dragonflies were all over the place, and that has been the hugest symbol of transformation for me since this journey started. And that dragonfly medicine appears and reappears over and over again wherever I go, no matter how unlikely it would be that dragonfly would show up. Beyond that, there was a dingo that stalked me every night. I was staying in, it's called an echo tent. I was like, how can I describe it? It was like a tent cabin haven. in which I could see the stars, and I have never seen galaxies of stars like I did up in the outback. Truly awe-inspiring and humbling to be in a place where I am the gift, but the gift is all around me, for the lack of a better way to put it. And while I was there, when I was on the land there, I was doing work. I was helping out. That dingo would stalk me every night to the tent. And so I just have conversations with him. And Neville had said to me one night, we had a lot of deep spiritual conversations. And Neville said, that dingo showed up not too long ago, which means there's trouble that's coming down the pipe. And I said, oh, really? And he said, yeah. He said, they're a guardian spirit. And he said, but it means that everything's going to be okay, that it's all going to happen for a reason. And my hair on the back of my neck just stood up. And I was like, oh, no. about a week after we had that conversation, I was burning gungra, which is a sacred wood. The best equivalent I can think of is sage in our, you know, Native American traditions. It's very powerful medicine and used for clearing and healing. But in the tradition, Neville's tribe's tradition, you don't want to burn too much because it can steal your spirit. And so I had been doing clearing. I had a session booked on this one day, and to do a energy healing and angel reading for one of the employees that was up working on Neville's land. Neville said to me, you need to stop burning the gungra. You know, there's something's not right. And I said, yeah, I'm just going to finish this clearing and then I'll put it out. And so that started our day. I went off to do that reading. It was the first time I didn't go down to the river. We would swim. There's a beautiful river that runs through the land there. And it was the first time I didn't go swimming because we had gone every day. We knew that we had to be careful down there. There is saltwater crocodiles up there and stuff like that. And they are as aggressive as as they're made out to be. We knew there was one hanging around, but in a big group like we were, we always just kept up watch and it was fine. That day that I did that reading, we finished that session and the employee and I came back to where we were all staying. And the little girl, the Neville's daughter, came up to us and said, you know, the salty attacked and ate the dog. And we went, what? Wow. And her older brother was stuck on the island on the other side of the river. Because he had been swimming across when the salty decided to make its presence known. So it was a really scary day. And I went, that's the only day I didn't go to the water.
Right.
In that session that I had with that person, we did this powerful, like, powerful clearing for her. And I could feel the energy kind of rippling out. And so it was just really like surreal in how literally that attack happened as we finished that clearing. Like when we all sat down and shared what happened, because there was about 14 of us on the land at the time between the workers and Neville and his family. And when we sat down and all reflected and spoke, you know, what was there for us, what had happened, it became really clear that as I finished my work with her, that was when the crocodile took the dog. Thankfully the puppy instead of the boy. And right. So they had called the essentially forest ranger, I guess is the best way to describe it. But because the crocodile was too small, he was only a meter and a half long, they wouldn't do anything about it. He was still, the croc was considered, you know, still young, and you know, they wouldn't come and hunt it. So that kind of shifted all the plans, because I was supposed to stay up there for quite some time. I had been there 3.5 weeks at that point, and the plan was for about another 3 weeks for me to stay up there. That made a big difference in that I went from that to, that was Saturday it happened, and I had to leave on Monday because Neville had to go hunt that croc because it was becoming a danger. Mm-hmm. And it was very shocking and scary, and my heart broke for Neville's son because that was his puppy that got eaten. Right. The dogs were swimming across the river to come to him on the other side because he had been halfway out across the river when the salty came into the water. And so he just swam his heart out, got to the other side, and the dogs were coming to keep him company. And everybody said you could see it. You knew it was going to happen, but it was like a train wreck and you couldn't look away. One of the beautiful pieces of it, when we were driving down back to Broome, after the miracle of Roxanne, you have no place to stay, and somebody saying, oh, my friend's looking for a nanny. And they said, come into Broome. And that literally happened in 3 hours. Like, I got the news of, you need to go tomorrow on Sunday back to Broome. And I was like, okay, I have to go to my tent and have a good cry because I'm freaking out right now. And so I'm going to walk out of this door, go get my phone from the charger, walk back to my tent, cry. And after I've done that, I'll be able to come up with a plan. I managed to get out the door 5 steps halfway to where my phone was charging. And somebody looked at me and went, hey, you can go to Broome. It's all arranged. You can come tomorrow. And I went, right. Okay, I just need to go walk to my tent and have a cry now. Because I just went through this intense fear of having no place to go. And now I do have a solid place to go. And I'll see you guys in about a half hour.
Right. This has all been quite lovely, but now I need to scream.
Yes. It was such an intense weekend, that weekend with the saltwater attack, like with the croc attack. And then, you know, it was just like, whoa, hitting my limits here. And so, yeah, when we were making that drive down to Broome, Neville's son's spirit totem is saltwater crocodile. And he said in the car as we were driving back down to drop me off, he said, you know, now I know what a death roll looks like. And the hair on my neck stood up. And I turned around and I looked at him and I said, you know, I don't know much about my heritage. I have Métis heritage that I just found out about before I left. But one of the things I do know is that our totems will teach us throughout our lives over and over some of the most powerful lessons that we need to be who we are. And he looked at me and he started crying. He was 9 years old. Mm-hmm. And I said, so I don't know what the message is for you, but I know that one day you're going to understand what happened. And everybody in the car was silent for a second. And the little boy's mom looked at me and said, you shared that just as we passed the place where his uncle, the elder of our tribe, said that his spirit totem was saltwater crocodile. Mm-hmm. And so I know based on that, that's true, that will be truth for him. And the little boy just looked at me and he said, thank you. And I was like, no, thank you. Right. And then I was in Broome. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fascinating to me how Indigenous people all over the world basically have similar ways of doing that, divining things from what's going on, where things are, how things are said and when they're said, what, you know, that everything, that things are not seen as random events and of no consequence, they're seen as messages.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Which is why people like you and like me talk to everything.
Yes. True story.
Hopefully not out loud in a public place in a crowd, but
oh, well, sometimes.
Exactly.
I have been known to hug trees in public and have an intimate conversation with them, but I'm kind of weird.
Welcome to the club. Ross, we should let people know how they can get in touch with you and find your information. What's your website?
My website is http://RoxanneMusso.com, and I will spell that because my name's hard. So it's RoxanneMusseau. So yeah, you can just go in RoxanneMusso.com and I come up.
And you're also on Facebook.
I'm on Facebook. I have a blog, which is just blog.RoxanneMusseau.com. And that goes into detail more about my experiences on my journey. And you have all the time to read it, not just our phone call here.
And we'll talk a little bit more also about how we've been communicating through this adventure, because it's having the technology that we've got has been just wonderful.
Absolutely.
So we're going to take a break, and we will be back shortly, unless, of course, we get taller. here on Empower Radio with Roxanne Musso on The Farkas Files. Don't go nowhere.
Forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and bugs.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you, the enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes, it's that one.
The free-to-be-me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Do you get tired of styling your hair every day? And do you want a good hairstyle every day? Hi, I'm Sarah Schuster. I went on a website called InventNow.org, and after that, I decided to invent something too. Something called the InstaDo. Just imagine, you just put it over your head like a helmet does, and you pick your hairstyle with the buttons on the side. Then you can have instant hairstyle in seconds. People like it. People like Jeff Bart.
I like it.
And people like Kenneth.
It's a helmet thing, and it fits over your head, and it's
great.
Thank
you, Kenneth. You should go to inventnow.org, and it could help you come up with your own invention. After all, look at me on the radio now.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions, or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Hey, Larry, mind if I sit down?
Nope.
This coffee tastes like coffee. So what's going on?
Not much.
What's new?
Not much.
Okay, but can you please put the newspaper down while you say not much?
What newspaper?
This newspaper. Oh, dude, what happened to your face? I see one, two,
ow,
three, four, five, six.
Ow.
Dude, what is
ow
this? 11 pieces of toilet paper stuck to your face?
I'm shaving in the dark to save energy. I'm helping the environment.
That's a dangerous way to help the environment.
Well, sometimes you have to sacrifice yourself for the greater good.
Dude, there's an easier and safer way to help the environment without sacrificing yourself. Go green, go public. Take public transportation. It's good for the environment and you won't have to live behind a newspaper.
Wow.
But for now, put the newspaper back up.
A message from the public transportation systems across the country. To learn more, visit publictransportation.org.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with Roxanne Musso, who is with us from Australia, where it's already tomorrow morning, which always gives me the giggles. I also like the fact that I always like the image of everybody being upside down there, you know. It's
hey, you know that stuff about their light switches being upside down and the toilet backwards? True
yep
story.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I know a lot of it is, but the hanging upside down thing, and not so much.
Well, we'll just leave that one alone. I don't want my Aussie friends over here to disown me.
You can tell me later. So, you know, part of what's been totally amazing throughout this whole adventure is that we've been able to chat almost every day, either with Facebook mm-hmm. chat or something else. And, you know, I never knew what time it was and didn't keep track of all of that. But, you know, being able to hold someone's hand in the middle of an adventure this easily with the kind of technology we have is something that we couldn't have even done a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And it's been wonderful to share this with you and to be able to support you and all the rest of it. But I just, you know, every once in a while I look at the technology and go, seriously, yeah, well, I can.
Yeah. Yeah. I have never been so grateful for my smartphone in my entire life. Truly.
Right.
Like, I've been doing a practice for the past few weeks where I go on these rampages of appreciation, which is like Abraham Hicks terminology, if anybody's familiar with that. And so I just write everything I appreciate. And for the past 2 weeks, every day, my phone does something for me. Literally right now, I am doing this interview on my iPhone because my laptop died in Bali. And so, yeah, just things like to be able to talk to you. I can Skype on my phone. So I run sessions using my phone right now. I text with my 21-year-old daughter back in Canada, you know, and just like those things are so important, that connection that is available today that, yeah, we didn't have a few years ago. Heck, we had pagers when I was a teenager, and I thought that was pretty advanced. You know?
Right. Right. Yeah. It's, shall we tell the story about the bus?
Oh, yeah, we can tell the bus story.
So I don't remember what time of day it was or what was going on, but I get a Facebook chat from Roxanne, and she's telling me where she is, and, you know, she's basically in a bus going from wherever to wherever. And you can tell the rest of the story.
You make it sound so sedate. It was morning where I was at. This was where was I going? Perth to Bridgetown at that point in time. So this was right at the beginning of being over here. And I frantically am like on the bus. I've settled in. The bus starts going. And there's this guy sitting behind me. And I'm feeling uncomfortable with the fact that he's back there, but I'm like, you know, whatever. The bus is practically empty. There was like five of us on this bus. And the guy starts talking. So I turn around and I look, and he's not talking to anybody, and he's not talking to me. And so I sit back down, and again, I get the like hair standing up on the back of my neck, but not in a good way kind of feeling. And it just like got increasingly worse. Like, I could actually I was starting to constrict, my stomach was starting to ache. I was starting to get a headache, and I was like, oh, this is not good. There's a crazy dude behind me talking to somebody. And it wasn't that he was talking to nobody. If it was somebody who just is, you know, talking to themselves, or talking to nobody, that doesn't kind of tweak my spidey senses really. It was the fact that I could feel that he was actually having a conversation with some sort of spirit, something or other. And because I was in such fear, I couldn't feel what it was. So what do? Turn my data on my phone. I go on Facebook and I'm like, please let there be one of my colleagues, somebody who does some juju out there that I can talk to. And sure enough, your little green light was on Facebook. And I was like, David. That's how I typed it. Really, my fingers were hitting the phone pad so hard. It was like, David. I need your help. And are you awake? Are you there? And so I told you the whole, this is what's going on. And I said, can you like tap into this moving vehicle on the other side of the world and tell me what the heck's going on? Because it's energetically, it was actually starting to get painful for me. And so you did. You're like, okay, relax. Just breathe. And I was like, I'm breathing. I got this.
I missed some of that because we were doing it with a text chat. So
yes, yeah. It's there you go. So now I get to fill in the gaps for you. What was right. going on for me on the bus? Yeah, and so you actually did tap into that bus and were able to determine who he was talking to, what was going on, and were able. And this is I bow down to you for this gift. You were able to, you know, kind of talk to those elementals that he was communicating with, and, you know, get them to tone it down a little bit. And literally, I felt the moment that there was that shift where all of a sudden that energy pulled back behind me. The guy was still talking away to his friends,
right?
That none of us could see, but yeah, that energy just pulled back, and my stomach stopped hurting. My headache went away. And then I went, oh, you know, I could have just asked the angels to shield me. Hello. So then I just, you know, stepped in, contacted my angels and my guides, and they just set up this really beautiful space, which you also helped out with. And the rest of the bus ride was a dream. It went fast. It was smooth.
Yeah.
And yeah. Thank God for David on Facebook chat.
Just another service we provide.
Excellent. So yeah. There you go. If you're ever in a bus panic, just contact David.
Yeah, it's usually the messages I get are I'm stuck in, you know, insert city. And there's only one flight out and I can't seem to get a seat and I'm going to be stuck here. What can you do?
Mm-hmm.
And frequently.
No, I like to mix it up for you, David.
I know. Yeah, I know. I mean, yeah, you certainly have given me new and interesting and fun challenges.
Yeah, well, you know, I think spirit likes to stretch our skills.
Well, really. You know, it's not the first time I've gotten that kind of I'm in the middle of nowhere help call. I got one of those from Kelly.
Oh, yeah. Good.
I'm on a lake in somewhere upstate New York, and I'm being attacked. Oh, my God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Got it. Let me pull out my juju. I'll be right there. That being said about spirit stretching skills, let me bring us now over to the East Coast, where I am and have been for almost 2 months now. So I was in Broome. I lose track of the time now, and I write it all down, but I don't have my travel diary here in front of me. So, I was there for quite some time. And I felt like I had to go to Brisbane, and I'm like, Brisbane, that's like a city for one. Why do I have to go to Brisbane? That's ridiculous. But knowing that, you know, I've been traveling by intuition, I could feel it fully in my body. Mm-hmm. I was like, all right. Brisbane it is. And so I looked up the price of a plane ticket. And so I started offering out my services in Broome, you know, the energy healing that I do, the angel readings, and then anything else. I was like, you need babysitting? I'm your girl. I was a teacher for 10 years. I can sit with your kids. No problem. And so it ended up that it took me a couple weeks between the energy healing and stuff like that to earn my plane fare over, because being the pilgrim that I am, spirit makes sure that I have exactly what I need fully in every single way. But money is, I'm going to say, it's all a mystery. It's really, it happens and it's there when I need it. And if I don't, then it's not.
Right.
So I made the flight over to Brisbane. I figured I would stay here for about 2 weeks, because there was something here for me. I didn't know what it was yet. And then I would head over to New Zealand because I really, really wanted to be over there and start looking into the Maori culture there, the Aboriginals of New Zealand, and seeing what dance was there. I got to Brisbane. Everything fell into place beautifully. I had a place to stay for a week. And it turned out that the guy that I was staying with was a body healer, and I had dislocated my shoulder when I was over in Broome, which changed up a whole bunch of things for me. I could no longer work on farms for my room and board. So I really had at that point in time to stop taking control of how things looked and where I was staying and just really leave it up to spirit. So I stayed with this man. He did work on my shoulder, which jumped my healing forward quite significantly. And he was like, no, you're a guest and I really like you. So, you know, if you cook for me and bake cookies, I'll work on your shoulder. I was like, done. You don't even want to trade energy healing sessions? You just want me to cook and bake? I'm in. No problem. So I spent a lovely week there with him and his family and was able just to really provide a healing presence for his children who just really needed, you know, some mothering, nurturing energy in the household. So that was really lovely. From there, I went out one day to hang up energy healing flyers. And I got to an area in the city where they said, go here, because, you know, there's lots of hippie-like people like you. And I was like, I don't know when I've become a hippie, but apparently I have. I got there and I got this really sick feeling in my stomach. And I'm like, okay, I can't hang these flyers. I don't know why. So I sat down. I did some breathing. I was talking to one of my beloveds from home. And my phone rings and it's an offer for an au pair job. They call it over here. Au pairing is like nannying. Mm-hmm. So it was my room and board plus a cash stipend for 2 weeks. And my visa was expiring at the end of that 2 weeks. So I had to leave Australia. And let me point out as I say that I'm still here.
Right.
I'll get to that. And yeah, so I was like, okay, all right then. And I could just, every time this happens, really, this journey for me has been a big process in getting into my body and truly living an embodied life. And, you know, that people probably sometimes go, what are you talking about? I think a lot of times when we shut down to do all the things we have to do, we step outside of our body so that the body functions and we get stuff done, but we're not living it in full feeling. And so I've really had to come into living in the full feeling of, oh, I can't hang these flyers up because it makes my stomach hurt. All right, I need to sit down for a second and just rest in that. And then, you know, when I do that, you know, I get this phone call and my stomach stops hurting and my body feels loose and relaxed. And that's a yes for me in my body when that I have that loose, relaxed sense of, oh, this is good. You know, so I said yes to that job. I went there and I was very excited to be there. They had three kids, got into that situation for 2 weeks, and it brought up, every place that I have stayed has brought up old things for me that have still needed to be healed. Mm-hmm. And it makes me laugh a lot because I think, oh, you know, I've done that. I've walked that path. I've healed that. And I actually just had a conversation with the mother, as I call her, with spirit earlier this week. And she said to me, she said, there's wisdom in walking the path more than once. And I said, why? It looks the same. And she laughed at me and she said, does it? She said, how can it look the same when every time you walk it, you're facing a different direction? You go forward, that's one direction. You go backward, that's another direction. And I was like, okay, really? She said, no, listen, Roxanne. And she said, listen with your spirit and listen with your heart. How can the path be the same when the passing of your feet altered the nature of the path the first time? Then she said, breathe deeply and walk on. And I was like, wow, that's deep. That is some deep stuff right there. And I've been sitting with that this week and that, you know, when I travel back down those paths, in this case with that nannying job, the father worked away up at the mines here in Australia, which is a common, you know, you're away for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks and you're home for a certain amount of time. That's why mom needed help with the kids, but she was a yeller. And that's a big trigger point for me from my childhood. Mm-hmm. And I had some healing to do there. And I had to walk back down those old paths by being in that space again, right? And observing how I react in my body, in my mind. And then for me, it's a process of writing it out, which I did. There's a great big blog post, I believe. It's my last one that I wrote about, you know, parenting and how we are as parents and my reflection on that. And So I processed that all through. And it was funny because when I finished that energetic process for myself and that energetic healing session, I did a few sessions with myself. Then it was done. It was time for me to leave. Mm-hmm. Like everything within a day fell into place of, it was almost a school break for the kids and they were going to go away and I had to move on and find a new place. And I went into, oh God, my visa's expiring. I don't know where I'm going. I only have this much money, which is enough to fly to New Zealand, but that didn't feel right in my body anymore. What am I going to do? And so things from there have flown. I went down to Gold Coast and stayed there for a while, which presented its own challenges and its own things that I needed to heal again. I learned, I don't want to say a new healing process, just an addendum to a healing process I already use with my clients and with myself. And that was very powerful. I think the biggest thing that's happened for me being in Brisbane, which is why I had to come here, have been the following messages. One, I had to find my dance. And here in Brisbane, there is a powerful transformational dance community. And so, yeah, I've been out dancing. I've danced more here in Brisbane than I have in the past 5 years of my life. And have had the opportunity to really come into my body and, find what my dance is and what that dance looks like and how it impacts my life, to the point that it's become a meditation piece for me that, you know, whenever I'm in any kind of struggle or turmoil, I step into that dance now mm-hmm. and just dance and then get quiet and my answers flow from there. The other stuff that's come for me has been, you know, being able to really learn to face the shadow. I said the other day in a conversation, you know, in the modern spiritual movement, whatever you want to call it, you know, people are talking about step into the light, blah, 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 you know, get into the light and fluffy bunnies and unicorns and happy yeah. rainbows. And that is a big part of this, truly. When you step into the light, it is a beautiful thing. But you have a shadow behind you that also needs attention, right? And that, yeah. So there, for me, it's been a very big process of, you know, balancing between those two and finding the joy in that and being okay with the pain of that, but letting go of the attachment to what I think is supposed to happen.
Yeah, well, we could have a long conversation about white light and fuzzy bunnies because so much of the... So much of the stuff that I do is dealing with the negative intention that is tricking people into not being in the light. And if your total focus is the light, then you never see that stuff and you can't deal with it. And the white light and fuzzy bunny people really don't like when those of us that deal with that talk about it. So,
well, you know, making friends and influencing people, that's me.
So we're of course running out of time. It always happens. Mm-hmm. What's the adventure with your visa and having enough money to come home? And
yes. So I ended up getting a visa. It's called a bridging visa, which is a visa extension to be able to stay here in Australia. Basically I had to go into immigration when my visa expired and say, hey, I don't have the money to leave your country, because on my tourist visa, I could leave and come back, not a problem. So I just went in and I said, look, you know, I don't have the money to leave. I really need help. So they gave me a bridging visa with working rights so that I can work on earning the money, to go home.
How incredibly civilized.
Yes. My first time through the immigration folks were super nice, very supportive, you know, totally the opposite of any image that we're given of, you know, border control and, you know, immigration folks. And and they told me about this fund that I could apply to if I didn't have the money. So they gave me the bridging visa for 3 weeks, which is unusual. They usually only do two. They usually will not give you working rights or study rights on a bridging visa. They did that as well. Thank you, Spirit, again, for carrying me and taking care of everything. And so I left and I, you know, the reasonably, people here don't want to hire somebody who's only going to be here for about, you know, 2 or 3 more weeks. And so I just started setting up, you know, my ability to put it out there that I'm doing energy healing sessions and angel readings and, you know, that I'm open for clients to come so I can, you know, earn my money that way. And also whatever, you know, I've really put out there that whatever way the money flows in, I'm open and grateful for and totally humbled by, truly. I had a check-in appointment about a week after that, just to let them know how I was going with earning the money. And right now, because I am mostly healed with my shoulder, but I can't do like heavy physical labor, anything like that. And the whole thing with, I didn't have the money for the ticket. So I went back the week later. I said, I don't have the money for the ticket. They said, well, why don't you apply for this fund, you know, for your ticket home? I did that and they denied it.
Great.
Nope. And so I was a wreck. I didn't know what I was going to do. I went instantly into fear. And I think, you know, that's a big thing. You know, we go back and forth between fear and trust and fear and faith. And it's all in the circles and rhythms, truly, of life that, you know, fear, it's going to go back and forth. Anyways, so I went to, I was blessed to be able to go to a retreat that weekend that really helped me just get back into my body through drumming, dancing, and singing. It was a beautiful retreat on a place called Stradbroke Island with some really talented facilitators. And I came out of that totally blissed out and have just been slowly starting to manifest sessions and clients since then. I've been given a second bridging visa that now expires August 14th. So truly, this is the last bridging visa they can give me. If I don't leave August 14th, I'll have a 3-year ban, meaning I won't be able to come back. And if I stay much longer after that, I'll be deported, which is not a pleasant experience, as was explained to me. And because I would have to pay, they would give me the money, essentially, but it'd be about $30,000 because they'll send 2 immigration officers to escort me all the way home. And I would be responsible. Yes, I would be responsible for my ticket fare, their return ticket fares, and their accommodations while in my part of Canada. And I would not be allowed back in Australia until I had cleared up that debt with the Australian Immigration Department. So yeah, slowly but surely, right now, clients are starting to flow in. I've had a couple this week. I have a couple next week. I'm still quite far from the amount that I need to go home. I still need about $1,500 because it's a $2,000 ticket. But it'll happen somehow. I just keep putting it out there. It'll happen. I'm open. The biggest struggle for me has been the challenge of doing versus being.
Right.
In that, in my old incarnation, we'll call it my old life, I was all about doing, you know, do the lesson plans, teach the lesson, you know, work for jobs, earn it. And yeah, I was dying in my spirit. And I've been really this week, you know, really focused on how am I being, you know, what am I drawing into my experience by the space I'm choosing to be in my intention, you know, in my focus. And beautiful things are showing up. You know, I've been gifted 2 gifts of money this week. I've had, you know, 2 beautiful sessions this week. And so it is happening. And so I'm just going to keep trusting. But hey, let me take these 2 seconds to say, if you're looking for some really powerful transformational energy healing,
exactly,
go on my website and contact me. Yeah. If you're looking for guidance, or, you know, through spirit, I'd be happy to do an angel reading. Yeah.
Or if people feel drawn to just send you some money because what goes around, what goes around comes around, and somebody has done it for them, and here you are. So
So the website
again is
RoxanneMousseau.com, and that's RoxanneMousseau. And then my blog, in case you want some pleasure reading, but there's also a donation and contact page on there, is just blog.roxannemousseau.com.
Fantastic. So Rox, thank you so much for this, for including me, but also our audience in this adventure, because it's been, since we focus so much on walkabout, being able to be with somebody who's actually doing a very classic version of walkabout is just wonderful. And, you know, I've been very happy that I could hold your hand, but it's also been incredible as part of the show. So my guest has been Roxanne Musso, who is talking to us from tomorrow, from the future, in Australia on the other side of the world. Roxanne, thanks so much for checking in with us again. And I will be talking to you, hopefully, with you in Canada very soon. So if
absolutely,
if folks,
thank you.
You're welcome. So if folks are curious about my work, you can go to househealing.com. Go to the contact page and find every conceivable way of contacting me, including my scheduling calendar. I do a 20-minute free assessment of what's going on with people, places, situations, and we can see how I might be helpful to you. You can find more about the show at thefarkasfiles.com, and we're also on iTunes podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and a bunch of other places as well. So I hope you're having a fantastic week wherever you are and whatever day it is. And until next week, this is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere. Radio. Have a wonderful week.